Welcome to this special sermon on prayer. Open your Bible to Luke 11, verses 5 through 10, and let's begin.
And specifically, I'm going to talk about what faith looks like in our lives. Because I believe that if today I can just help you have a little bit more faith in God, if we can just elevate our expectation and our understanding of who God is just even a little bit, it can create a different atmosphere in our lives. Because faith is a game changer. It's a game changer. And I want to talk to you about it. Now, if you are a Cleveland sports fan, church, yeah, we got to talk about this, right? We don't know how many wins are coming, so we have to soak in all that we can. And we've got to make a bigger deal about it than it really is. Because we know what the future can look like. Oh, in 16. And so you know what a game changer is. If you're not a Cleveland sports fan, the Lord rebuke you. No, just kidding. We'll pray for you. But I'm kidding, church. Come on. But if you saw the game, you noticed that it didn't start out well, right? Tyrod Taylor, he was the starting quarterback, and he was struggling. It looked like the same old Browns, didn't it? Same old Browns. You thought, man, yep, this is what's going to happen. But then, at the end of the first half, something happened. Oh! Something happened. Baker Mayfield came in. You guys should be way more excited about this. Baker Mayfield came in. Are we putting way too much expectation on him already? Probably. But that's what we do here in Cleveland. He stepped in and it was a game changer, right? They came back and they won and all of heaven rejoiced. And it was beautiful. And faith is like Baker Mayfield. So that's too far. Let's see. It's a game changer. Let's just leave it at that. It's a game changer. It changes the dynamic and the atmosphere in our lives. That's what I want to talk to you about today. So since it's a game changer, we all need to get some. And you got to say it with attitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, get some. Get some, son. What are you doing? Get some. It's a game changer. And I want to talk to you about this because Jesus talks about this. And this is such a powerful and a helpful teaching. And let's just dig right into it. It's Matthew chapter 17. We're going to start at verse 14. If you want to read in the Bibles, there's Bibles around you. If you don't have a Bible, you can take one of those home with you. We'd love for you to have that. And it's page 822. And here's what it says. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, talking about Jesus, and kneeling before him, he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. So this is kind of something that happened many times when Jesus would go around from town to town, place to place, people would come to him. And they had family members that had illnesses. They had issues that they were struggling with. And they would approach Jesus and Jesus would change things. He would heal them. He would speak to them exactly what they needed to hear. And it was powerful. And so word got around and people began coming to him. So this guy comes and his son is in a terrible spot. He's got this issue that they can't figure out. And he says this, and before I brought him to you, I brought him to your disciples. I brought him to the junior varsity. Remember those guys? These were guys Jesus brought in close. And he said, hey, what I do, I'm going to empower you to do some of that. And so they were out there. But they could not heal him. They couldn't do it. And look at this answer. Don't sanitize Jesus here. Because you're going to see Jesus annoyed. I know you think, does he get annoyed? He does. Yeah, and you're going to see it. In fact, he might be annoyed with some of us today. Just kidding, kind of. Jesus answered, oh, faithless and twisted generation. That's not very pastoral, Jesus. Oh, faithless and twisted generation. How long am I to be with you? And I believe it all kind of just started with a groan. Ah! That's what he did. Oh, faithless and twisted generation. That's what the O is. How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. See, that he sounds annoyed to me, don't you think? All right. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately because they don't want to ask this in front of everybody. Why couldn't we do it? Why could we not cast it out? Which is, I think, a good and fair question to ask. Jesus, what went wrong on our end? Here's what Jesus said. Because of your little, say it with me, faith. Because of your little faith. Why? Because faith is a game changer. It's a game changer. The game didn't change because of your little faith. For truly, but here, I'm going to teach you something, disciples. But truly, I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed. And now that would have been the smallest seed that they were familiar with. If I showed it to you today, I don't have one, but you wouldn't even really be able to see it from there. That's how small it is. So he's saying, if you had faith that was just that itty bitty in you, then you would say to this mountain, move from here to there. If you just had any faith at all, you could say this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. It's a game changer. Nothing will be impossible for you. So let's talk through this. I want to just give you three ideas about faith. The why of faith, the who, and the what. The why, the who, and the what. I know it should be who, what, why, because that flows a lot better, but it doesn't fit my outline. So we're going to do why, who, what. Who, what, why, who, what, what's it matter? You know, there it is. Why, who, what of faith? Let's talk about why do you and I need faith? Why is this important? Well, let's look again at the text. So this man comes up, and the reason that Jesus said he needs faith and the reason that we need faith in our lives is because we face obstacles that we can't figure out. And we face moments in life where there are mountains that need moved, but we can't move them. And this is what the boy's dad is going through. In fact, there's a parallel account of this story in Mark. Mark's another biography of Jesus written earlier. And in Mark chapter 9, we see that this frustration, it was not a new frustration for this dad, but his boy had been struggling with this all his life. And so all his life, he had seen his boy just come undone in these moments, and I'm sure he tried everything. He probably, you know, got those natural oils and sprayed them up in the bedroom and, you know, did everything he could, and none of it helped. And he was stuck. And the disciples, they couldn't do it either. And the reason why we need faith is because there are going to be insurmountable and impossible moments in our life. And those moments aren't there to destroy us. They're not there to defeat us. But they're moments where we can see the hand and the power of God move in a very real way. And here's what I know about these moments. That in these moments, you and I, we choose how we respond to them. And we can respond to them in fear, in discouragement, in despair, or Jesus says, you can actually meet those with faith. That's another option. That's another alternative. And fear and discouragement and despair, they always keep you stuck. But faith allows the opportunity for movement in your life. If you and I, if you feel like maybe you're in a season in your life, there's some obstacles, there's some pain, there's some struggles. I want you to open your heart to what a faith approach would look like to that. This isn't being naive. It's not wishful thinking. This is real stuff with real power to it. And Jesus said, you're going to need this thing in life. You with me on this? And so we need faith. We need it for those moments. But here's another reason we need it, is because it annoys Jesus when we don't have it. Yeah, faithlessness. It annoys him, right? He says, oh, how long do I have to be with you? It doesn't mean he didn't love them. He just was annoyed with them. You can love someone and be annoyed with them. This happens in my marriage all the time. I know my wife loves me. I just annoy her sometimes. And she kind of echoes the sentiment of Jesus. How long are you going to be home? Don't you have something to do? She loves me. I just get on her nerves sometimes. Jesus loves you. You just get on his nerves sometimes. It annoys him. But you know what? Faith glorifies him. Faith glorifies him. Faithlessness, he's like, dude, serious? Why are you acting like you got to figure this out all on your own? I've been there for you before. I promised to be with you in the future. Why don't you believe me? Why are you acting like I've never met you in your time of need? I've been there every time. I mean, that would get annoying, don't you think? Don't you get annoyed when people's expectations of you are so incredibly low? And you're like, what do you think of me? Now, maybe I've earned some of those expectations, but in Jesus' case, he hasn't. And so it annoys him. But the beauty is faith glorifies him. You can never go wrong having a high expectation of God. You can never go wrong. He will never fail you or forsake you. And so we need faith. Now let's talk about this next aspect of faith. This is so important, the who of faith. So we know why we need it, but let's talk about the who of faith. And this was so helpful for me in my own life. And let me explain this to you. So they say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? You know, you casted this demon out. There were spiritual issues in this boy's life, and you took care of it. But why couldn't we? And Jesus says, it's because of your faith. But then he uses this moment to teach them something so helpful and so important about faith. He says, if you just have it, and it's only the size of a mustard seed. If that's all you have, Jesus said, that's plenty. That's enough. And when I used to read this passage, I read it differently than that. I would read this passage and I would walk away from it and I would feel discouraged because I would think, I'm lame like the disciples. I hardly have any faith. Jesus is annoyed with me probably right now. That's how I always felt. And I always felt like I needed to have a tremendous amount of faith. But look what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm not asking you to have a tremendous amount of faith. I'm not asking you to be full of faith. I'm just asking you to have any amount of faith. If it's a grain of sand of faith, I'll take that. That's enough. Because here's what matters about your faith. It's not how much, it's who your faith is in that counts. It's not how much. It's not the amount of your faith that matters. It's who the focus of your faith is that matters. Jesus said, if you just get in the tiniest amount of faith that you can imagine, but it's in me, then that is enough for all the change and transformation that we need in our lives. You're not excited about that, church. First service wasn't in. It's not the amount, it's the focus of our faith. That matters. We have to have the right who. And I think what happens, this is why I think faith can be hard for us, is because maybe at times in your life and at times in my life, we felt like we had faith in God and he disappointed us. We felt like we've trusted God, we've believed in God, we've expected God to do things, and he's let us down. And we're afraid to trust again. We're afraid, we feel like if I put my hand back in the fire, it burned me once, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want to be disappointed in God again. Reminds me, this week I was with a good, very good friend, good coworker, brother in Christ, and we were at Sheets gas station, and we were both needing some caffeine. and trying to get these little caffeine drinks that we love, these like Starbucks drinks there. And I went to the place because I get them all the time, and they weren't there. And we were very disappointed. But as I was looking in the cooler, you know, you can see through the little slot between the shelves. You guys with me on this? Okay. And I looked and I saw a worker that, you know, they had the hat on because it's cold back there and a hoodie and all this stuff. And I said, sir, because I was like, maybe they have it. He's just going to restock it for me. That God is good. This is great timing. Sir, and turned around and made eye contact with me. And then turned around again. I was like, you saw me and I saw you. So I had to escalate. I said, hey, guy. And then this is what happened. It's where it takes a turn for the worse. Turned around and said, I'm a ma'am, not a sir. Yeah. So now it gets worse. So in that moment, in that moment, I know I've obviously, I'm in the deep end now. But I was with my brother in the Lord. As soon as it got awkward, he was gone. Gone. Just boo, like the Flash. And I looked, I was like, help me get out of this. Help me get out of it. You know, because then you try to get out of it yourself and it just gets worse. It turns out they didn't have the coffee there anyway. But I turned, and look, I'm not going to tell you his name, you know, because that would be unchristian. But it does rhyme with Shmovan Smanderson. I will tell you, it'd be wrong to tell you his name. But it rhymes with Pastor Shmovan Smanderson. And I want to be Christian up here. So I rented Banda Brothers Forum, and hopefully he'll watch that. See, we can talk about loyalty. There's a point to that story, church. I know it may be lost now. But I think we are secretly afraid that in our times of need, God is going to abandon us. And maybe we felt like at times he has. That when we needed him most, when we were in the deep end, he was nowhere to be found. But here's something I've learned about faith. Is that many times I thought I had faith in God, but I had faith in what I thought God should do. This is different. You with me on this? I thought I had faith in God, but my faith was in what I thought God should do in this situation. And my faith was not actually in God. My faith was in my own wisdom, because I thought, God, this is what you should do. This is the prayer that you should hear. This is the way that you should move. And when he didn't, I felt abandoned, but my faith was in the wrong who. My faith, who was it in? It was actually in me. But I confused myself and I thought it was in God, but it was in me. Because here's what faith says. It says, God, I am asking you to do this thing. I am asking you to move in my life in this way. But if you see a better way that I don't see, I still trust you, not my understanding of what you can do. And church, if you've walked with God for some time, isn't it true that sometimes your greatest blessings were through your greatest disappointments? That God said, nope, 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 and you were crushed and you were upset, but now you look back and you see it and you're like, thank you, Father. Thank you that you don't raise spoiled brats, but you give us not what we always want, but what we need. And I trust you. My faith is in you. The who matters. That's everything. And Jesus said, it's not the amount. If you put any faith at all in Christ, you won't be disappointed. You won't be let down. And faith will move things in your life. You with me on this? The why, the who, let's talk about the what. What does faith look like in our lives? Let me just be practical for a second. What does faith look like? It can be so abstract sometimes. What does it look like? It starts with belief. It starts with an understanding of who God is. Here's what my faith is built on. I believe in God the Father. I believe he created this world. I believe I am not a random production of biology. I don't believe you are either. I believe that he governs all things. That the good things and the bad things, he's using all of it for his total glory and my ultimate good. And so I don't have to get too wigged out about life because I believe in the Father who is in control. I believe that the Father is the most important being in this universe and that I exist to serve him, that I exist to glorify him, that that is the highest calling and the highest purpose of my life, and everything else falls under that umbrella. I believe in God the Son. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he came down, he lived among us, he died for my sin, that without him, I have no love from God, I have no acceptance, I have no chance. But he graciously gave his life, rose on the third day, so that broken people like me and broken people like you can live with God forever. I believe that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to bow my knee early and often, and I want that for you too. I don't want anyone to bow their knee later when it's forced. I'd rather do it early and often. I believe in God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I believe God lives within inside of me. He's guiding my life. He's helping me to be a better man. He's helping me to glorify Christ. He's helping me to live for the purpose that he has created me for. And without his influence and his power, I'm lost. But I believe he's sealed in my heart and in your heart. I believe in God's purpose in the church. I believe what we do as a church matters because we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send you in my place. You're going to love this world. You're going to speak to this world. You're going to serve this world. As I love you, now I'm passing the baton and I'm going to help you and I'm going to be with you, but you got to do it, church. And you got to be my presence of help and love in a messed up world. But you carry the most powerful message ever, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ that can change and transform the human heart. It's more powerful than any nuclear bomb. It's richer than any amount of money. And it changes everything when it's lodged into the heart of the human soul. I believe in that. I believe in God's purpose in my life. I believe I have an opportunity to serve him. I have a responsibility to serve him. I believe I have a calling to serve him. And I believe he's going to help me in it. And I believe the same about you. Faith, it begins with clarity about what we believe about God, about who he is, about what that means for our lives. It starts there. And then here's the second thing. Faith prays. And I would say it prays boldly and specifically. Faith says, because I believe things about who God is, and because those things matter in my life, and they change how I understand my life, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask him to move and to do things, and I'm going to trust that he hears and that he cares and that he'll work. And faith prays. And I want to encourage you this week, as we join in week of prayer as a church, I want you to pray boldly and specifically. What are the mountains you face today? We saw the dad's mountain. It was his son's issue. He couldn't figure it out on his own. He was lost. He was desperate. He was hopeless. What's your mountain? And I want you to ask God boldly and specifically to move in your life this week. I want you to ask God in the kind of way that you will actually know if he answers. See, sometimes I find my prayer is so generic that I think it's unhelpful. God, would you just bless me today? What does that even mean? How do I know if he's done it? Does that mean winning the lottery? Does that mean I just, you know, don't say something stupid? What is that? I want to say bold and specific prayers where I know if God answers. And because I know, I can then thank him. And then in the act of thanking him, my faith and my confidence in him grows. You with me on this? So faith, praise, boldly and specifically. And let's talk about the last part. Faith leads to action. Faith is not a passive force in our life. Faith leads us to move, expecting God to bless us, expecting God to meet us, expecting God to help us to do what we cannot do ourselves. Faith leads to action. It leads to movement, and it honors Christ. Let me just say this last thing about faith, is if you just think again about what Jesus says here, he says, the tiniest amount of faith can produce in your life and in my life more than we could ever produce in a lifetime of human effort. Isn't that amazing? The tiniest amount of faith. That in other words, God can do for us, and God can do in us, and God can do through us more from the smallest amount of faith than we could ever do and all of our combined strength together over a lifetime. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. It's absolutely incredible. And church, can we decide today, and it's not always easy, and I don't want to act like it is, can we decide today to be people of faith? You don't have to have great faith, remember? Can you just decide today, I may not have great faith, but I think I can do a mustard seed. I think I can do a little shot of it in my life. Have a little bit of amount. And can we approach the future of our church, the future of our families, the future of our life, not with an attitude of fear and despair and discouragement and helplessness, but can we face it with a heart, just a little bit of faith? And can we stand back and see what Christ will do? You with me on this, church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Father, you call us to just have a little bit of faith in you, and you say that's enough. Father, you don't set the bar so incredibly high that it's unreachable, but Lord, you set it so low that it is accessible for all of us. And now, Father, I pray today that as we have a few more moments together, I pray, Lord, that you could just purge our lives of whatever faithlessness there is in us, Lord. I pray wherever we have a faith that is weak and anemic and annoying, I pray you would replace it with something that's alive, something that's real, something that honors you and creates the opportunity for your hand to move in us and to move through us. Father, I pray we could be a church where you look at us and you say, I love their faith. I love their high expectations of me. I love to be with these people because they have faith and they trust me. Father, help us to be those kind of people. Help us to be that kind of church. And we pray that it would all lead to the honor and glory of the great name of Jesus. We ask for his sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.